Welcome to Follow the Sound, episode 100! Yes, we made it! We made it to episode 100, folks. Thanks for sticking in there with us. I am your host, Brian Kroc. Each and every week on this show, we like to do album reviews or concert reviews or This Week in Music History. But for this episode 100, we are doing something very special for you. We are doing the top 10 best musical decades of the last 100 years. Nah, it's more like 98 since it's 2018 so far.
Yes.
But still, we're counting it as the 100. So we're ranking the 1920s on in a top 10 list. And to help me out with this show is, of course, Greg Harvey.
Hey, that's me.
And Jacob Crumb.
Carl Liga.
I don't know what that means.
It's a song.
Oh, okay.
Carl Liga.
Okay, well,
I thought he was talking about a liger.
I don't know. I thought you said Carl Lager, and I was like, is that a type of lager that I called Carl or something?
No, it's a Hank Williams song.
So there, I didn't know
maybe
that. I'm
sorry.
Maybe
it's Carl Lager.
Carl
Lager.
The good old logs.
Carl Lager. Good
his
old
name
Carl.
Is Carl. if you want to help out our show, and please, we encourage you to do so, go to our website at followthesoundpodcast.com and click on the Amazon banner on the right-hand side. It'll take you to Amazon. You can do all of your normal shopping. Will not cost you anything extra. But we get a little bit of money back from everything that you purchase. So go to the website, click on the banner, or you can just go to followthesoundpodcast.com/Amazon. Once again, I want to thank lineupmedia.fm for hosting this show. You can go to lineupmedia.fm and find all these great podcasts that are out there. Just a bunch of different shows, bunch of different genres. Find something that you like after listening to our show, of course. And I'm sure that you will enjoy it. So please go check them out. So, like I was saying, this is our top 10 best musical decade of the last 100 years. And we are going to put together our list. And then we are going to discuss them, debate them, and rank them in an order of which we agree upon. And we're going to try and do it democratically for the most part. Just see kind of where we end up. We don't know where we're going to end up.
But the goal here is at the end of the show, we will have agreed
top
10.
We'll have agreed on the top 10. So if you just give us a moment here, we're going to write out our lists. And we're back. We have completed our list of the top 10 decades, and we are all holding them very close and guarded to where nobody else can cheat and took off of our ranks. But while we were doing this, Jake reminded me that we are going to do something a little special as well coming up here. So, Jake, please explain to the fans what is happening.
Okay. This is the moment I've dreaded as a broadcast.
Podcaster
as a creator of entertainment,
content creator,
content creator, whatever. Listen, just let me do my thing. You do you, bro.
Okay.
All right. So we're getting to the point where we actually have people listening to the show.
Yes.
Which I'm like excited.
We
about.
Have a fan base.
Yeah, if you can believe that,
it's amazing.
I know.
It's not just my dad.
I know. Like, we talk about the numbers, and I tell other people, and they sound impressed.
Yeah.
And I feel like they shouldn't be. But anyhow, we'd like to get a few more people.
Yeah.
And we're about to hit a milestone on our Facebook group.
Yeah.
Which is 500 people. It's a round number.
It's a nice round number,
that's
yes.
What milestones are.
Yes.
They're round numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes they're records set by other people. But you get the point. Point is we're really close to 500, and we want to get there. But I hate asking our listener group to do that for us.
Yeah.
Right? Most other places, what they, like other podcasts.
They just beg and plead.
Right, they beg and plead.
Come on, guys. We need to get to 500.
Try and dangle a little reward in front of you. Like, if we hit 500, we'll release this episode that we've already recorded, that we're keeping locked away, that you want to listen to. No.
Nope.
Your reward is our punishment.
That
it
is true.
Should be. I should be punished for asking this of you. So our drive now for Facebook group members, when we hit 500, we are going to review, all three of us are going to individually listen to by ourselves, then grouply review the Macho Man Randy Savage rap album.
Oh, God.
Oh, geez. This is the first I've heard of this.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, God. That.
All right, so you, no one has heard of this before but me.
No.
So, okay. So I have no doubts to the actual album existing. But yes, folks, if you go on Facebook and you find our Follow the Sound group, please go on there. If you have not liked the page, please go like the page. If you have liked the page, invite your friends to the group as well. You know, share the post. We'll make a post about this, of course, in the upcoming week. And you can share it with your friends and stuff so we can hit that 500 mm-hmm. number. And if we go above 500, it's I'm perfectly happy with that.
But
if we hit that, if we hit that 500 mark, we will review one of the worst albums ever made.
Be a Man by Randy Savage, which such tracks as Hit the Floor, Macho Thang, Feel the Madness, and Be a Man, Hulk.
Wow. This was going to be a gem. And it's going
to
be horrible.
So anyways, you know, tell your family, tell your friends, help us get to 500, and we'll listen to a terrible album and review
it. And just imagine, if we got to 500 and this is the kind of album that we're going to do, imagine what happens if we hit 1,000.
Imagine what my mind will think of.
Yes.
Are you gentlemen ready? Can you handle the madness?
No.
Oh, yeah.
So, please, go to the Facebook group, hit like and share, and that is that. So, let's actually get on to the specialness of this episode, episode 100, and we will start with our top 10 lists. Now, gentlemen, my number 10 spot, the 1930s.
You're wrong. You're already wrong. Completely wrong.
Why?
Well, without even defending the 1930s, I can just bring up like how awful the decade I was born in was.
Okay.
That's right. The 1980s is the worst music of the last 100 years.
Wow.
I'm totally not going to agree with you on that one.
No,
I'm fairly certain.
That one.
And Greg's not going to agree with you either. Mm-hmm. So you've already lost this vote.
Well, here's the thing.
You can argue that something. You can argue that, some other decade is worse than the 30s. Mm-hmm. It's like, but unless you actually present me a convincing argument,
I will right now.
Go for it.
The previous decade, the 1970s, was
30s.
No.
So he's a previous decade.
I'm already.
Be the 20s.
I'm still talking about the 80s here. Just let me lay out this argument and listen.
Go for it.
The 1970s were predominant, right? Predominated. Mm-hmm. By artist-driven concept albums mm-hmm. that everyone still nostalgically talks about and wax reminiscent of.
Yes.
The 1980s were a bounce back from that. Always tinged with commercialism and people's lesser work. You look at Peter Gabriel, everything that everyone holds dear to their heart other than Thriller is the least work of those artists. Every single one, to a man.
You're missing one key piece of information here, Jake. It's not just about the pop music.
Oh, God.
Look at the 80s. Mm-hmm. You've got, yeah, I mean, I don't even feel it necessary
to
put it right here.
If you bring up Third Wave Ska right now,
no,
it's
of course
a dirty
not.
Move.
No,
it's
not,
a dirty
I'm
move.
I'm not going to do that. Greg will do that, but I'm not going to do that. No. I'm just saying that right now, and Greg, I mean, if you agree with me, then that means that he's shut down with his 1980s being the worst decade.
Well, we're close. We're close. So Jake's official say is that the 80s were the worst.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So what was your say?
Well, I said that the 1940s were the worst. And the reason I said the 1940s were the worst is because I felt that the 30s had a little bit more artistic concept, whereas the 40s felt like they were a little more generic, in my opinion.
Maybe, but what were you whistling before we started this podcast?
I was just...
You were whistling In the Mood from the Glenn Miller Band.
Yeah.
Which was released in 1941.
41?
Yeah.
Well,
And the like the tail end of that decade, we saw the emergence of Hank Williams.
Yeah, and see, that really doesn't do too much for me, though.
Hank Williams doesn't do anything for you? Are you kidding me?
Well, okay.
I mean, I could see that the rise of Hank Williams being a part of that, but we were arguing this before that the 50s though are where where country really started to take root in the American ethos or whatever you want to call it.
Because like for me, the 40s, a big part of the 40s for me is like what was it? The Anderson Sisters, like just kind of like the. It's almost like the military music and the military marches. And we were in World War II, and you get a lot of like the, like the bugle boy from Company C.
So here's exactly the reason why I picked the 30s, is because I thought that had more merit. The Glenn Miller stuff, the Americana, the march stuff, you know, the big band. Like I thought that had more merit in the 40s. Than it did in the 30s, where it was like the 20s were the real start of the jazz age, and we had a lot of really great stuff that came out at that time. And then the 30s, it was more so just like, okay, like, I mean, yeah, there was the real starts of blues and stuff as the migration started to happen north. But the 30s didn't have like that big, huge impact that the 20s did or that the 40s did.
Yeah, I also feel like the 30s, though, was when a lot of like recording companies and just recording in general really started to take off as well.
But they were recording a bunch of crap. That's the problem.
So I will agree. I will concede that we can make the 1930s our worst decade.
Ugh.
All right. Boom. 1930s. At number 10.
But that means number 9 is my pick's going to have to go to the 1940s for that then.
You know what? I had something different for mine, but I'm going to agree with you.
Oh, what about Jake? What do you got number 9?
He's still pissed off about the 80s.
I'm still going to have to defend early Hank Williams, and I have to do that in song.
Okay.
I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. No?
Okay, so then if you had to pick, like, you know, besides the 80s.
Yes.
On what you would pick for number 9, what would you pick?
I mean...
is it basically that, like...
Jake slowly dies.
Yes.
The thing, though, is that...
The decision is hurting him so badly.
Unfortunately, as we go down the list, Jake's going to continue to say the 1980s were the worst until we all agree on it.
That's true.
Well,
sorry about that. My nose went into my mouth there.
Interesting.
Whoa.
Yes, so...
All right, so what would your pick then be for number 9?
I mean, I enjoy the early jazz standards, but they're just not as good as what came out once you got electric bass.
Okay.
Period. So I'd have to say 20s.
All right. So you know what? Actually, that's what I had for my number 9.
You had the 1920s?
I had the 1920s for my number 9. So I'm as influential as it was later on down the line, you know, like with more jazz and like that kind of stuff, I'm going to have to kind of agree. Because, I mean, most of the jazz that came out of there, yeah, it's the standard stuff. And it was influential at it in its time, but it wasn't as good or complex as the stuff that came out in the
40s. More clarinet, which I like.
Yeah.
More woodwinds, but
okay.
Yeah.
I thought the 1920s were great because to me it felt like that was more of a time where people gathered around music. That, you know, think places like the speakeasies, and even if you want to get really cliche with it, you think of like the movie Chicago, okay?
Yeah.
But music drew kind of the underbelly in, and it drew people to that. Like, a night out would be to just go hear some music. Now, granted, I think that applies to a lot of these decades, but I feel like the whole concept of the Roaring Twenties was based behind the music. That's what really drove the culture for the time, and so I felt like it deserved a little more credit than that. That's why I felt like the 40s were kind of blander than the 20s when it came to the appeal of the music.
All right, you swayed me, and I'll tell you why.
I'm in agreement, actually.
I'll tell you why, because I didn't think about music in vaudeville. there's a lot of really good dirty songs out there.
All right. So what did we pick for number nine here?
So number nine would be, well,
the 40s?
Yeah, that's my argument.
Okay, I'm going with it since we kind of all jumped there. Now, okay, so now on to the next one then. The 1920s. That's my pick.
I chose the 1920s for number eight as well.
All right, so that's two of us. Jake, are you in mild agreement with
fine.
Us? Okay. So there we go.
Great.
Now we're flying through this. All right. Good.
No, now it's about to get interesting.
Yes.
As we get into what we consider better.
Okay. So now I'm going to throw a wrench into all of this. My number seven pick for best musical decade, the 2010s.
What about you, Jake?
I mean, that was my number six, but that's because, you know, I have the 80s at 10 still.
So, guys.
Yeah, I mean, let's hang on. Let's just all take a moment and reflect on Flock of Seagulls.
I understand that, but they were a one-hit wonder.
Oh God, that can't
the
bring down
that they
the
could
whole
make
decade,
it as
man.
A one-hit wonder.
No,
so many groups can make it. Have you ever watched those VH1 specials of
yes.
like the 100 one-hit wonders from whatever decade it happens to be? Do you know the really, really bad songs that made it to number one in the 90s and the 2000s? Like. They're horrendous.
What, second or third, like, Billboard number one ever was How Much Is That Doggy in the Window?
Yes.
Right? Which I still think is a superior song to Flock of Seagulls hit.
Well, I don't know about that. That's a jam.
I'm just saying. Like, the fact that, you know, What Is Love is like a one-hit wonder, just still, but.
Well, here's the thing that's going to throw both of you off. My number seven is actually in agreement with Brian Croc.
Boom!
I think the 2010s, the decade we are in right now, is number seven because we've had better music come and go than we have right now.
We've had, in the 2010s, we've had a few good albums, mainly for me, indie bands that I've discovered.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as pop music goes, we've seen like country music take a nosedive in quality. We've seen pop music take a nosedive in quality.
We've seen rap music.
We saw rap
take a nosedive.
Massive freaking nosedive in quality. I mean, like, yeah, there are artists that are doing great and doing really cool things in the genres, but at the same time, the broader appeal of some of these genres, to me, has just fallen off in quality.
I would agree that in a continuation of Jake's one-hit wonder argument, this is kind of the opposite, where I think the diamonds in the rough of this decade do not outweigh the music that's bringing it down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
And that's why I can't agree with you at all about the 80s, because this decade exists.
I'm sorry, I still think it's superior, but I will say that my biggest disappointment thus far is that the recording industry as a whole is like 20 years behind on technology. Like, everyone is still trying to get that, like, perfect valve amplifier sound in rock.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone in hip-hop is still trying to do T-Pain's auto-tune on everything.
Ugh.
You know? Like, the last... look at what Kanye West was doing in 2010, like, with all of the lights. Throwing in horns and everything. That was actually still pushing the music.
Yeah.
There's very few people that are doing that. Even as good as I think as Damn is as an album, it's really not pushing the genre anywhere. And I don't think that this cloud rap stuff is doing that either. It's just like melancholy sitting still where the tech is.
I think that just specifically on Damn, so I won't get too far off, but I do think that in a way it's still kind of pushing the genre with some of what the creative content is there. And what I mean by that...
Okay.
So a good example would be DNA.
Yeah.
Right? So at the end of DNA, it launches into this beat that is essentially just a really chaotic clip of a man speaking. I don't even know what he's saying there at the end. But it sounds a lot like if anybody's ever heard of Big Frida. where these beats are basically like really chaotic, and it you have to listen to it a few times to get accustomed to it, to accept it. And so some of those stylistic choices that really are kind of off-putting until you get used to it, I feel like some people could see that as a negative, but I also see that it's driving us towards that taste in music. And the next person who does something like that will benefit from the people who kind of went out on a ledge there. So I get that. But at the same time, like you said, Brian, I mean, with the 2010s, we also have a lot of complacency currently because we've been doing this style of music since the year 2000.
Yeah.
And it's starting to get a little old.
Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't know. It's just, it's not doing enough for me. Like, have you ever looked at Black MIDI as a genre?
Mm-mm.
It's a genre that's actually making as many notes and as much musical information as possible before it crashes whatever computer you have.
Ah.
So everyone's constantly building these like miniature supercomputers to try and make music on a staff sheet that looks like this. And I'm showing Greg a photo right now.
Oh, Jesus.
Of a staff sheet of music that's just almost completely filled in with notes.
It looks like a cat walked across.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Your sheet.
At least that is pushing technology somewhere. At least it's not
sitting
in nostalgia and being happy to just try and get the best guitar sound from 60 years ago.
Mm. Nice.
And then we can probably move on from this. But
yes.
The point, though, is that if something catches you off guard, while it may be perceived as a negative, I think that that's a positive because it's something new. If it makes you feel uncomfortable, that's kind of something new because it's not predictable. It's not old. And so I get what you're saying, Jake, is people are spending too much time trying to give you those member berries, you know, trying to rehash old stuff when really, you know, it's okay to be weird.
Mm-hmm.
And people aren't being weird enough.
Yeah, agreed.
And that's why the 2010s have been a little too generic for us.
All right, so what do you got for number six?
Me?
Yeah.
Number six, we start to crest the wave into the good decades.
Okay, yep.
This was a hard one. I literally scribbled out three other decades before I settled on the 1950s.
I also picked the 1950s for number six. And doesn't mean that I don't like the music or know every single song from that came out that was popular in that decade.
Now, okay, I'll give Jake credit here. I originally put the 1980s for number six.
All right, and I'm going to convince you that it belongs there.
And I already know my argument to counteract you.
And so I already know that I'm probably willing to bump up the 50s to a better genre if we put the 80s here, but you have to make it
happen. Culmination of three different genres of music exploding all at the same time. Rhythm and blues, rock and roll, and country. For 10 years, running hard and strong, making songs and compositions that are now considered absolute standards. You can take any album from one of the Million Dollar Trio, Million Dollar Quartet. Right?
Yeah.
Elvis, Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, and Jerry Lee Lewis, and stack it up against the 10 best-selling albums from any year in the 1980s. And I don't think you would be able to argue with me that there's anything in the 80s compares to it, other than, say, like, Thriller.
You know what? You're right. The 1950s were too instrumental to music as a whole, as what we know,
all right,
for us to rank it this low.
Then here's what I would propose for number six, the 2000s.
I second that.
Now, I know for a fact that most of my musical influences came like later on in the 2000s. My favorite album came from the 2000s. And just a bunch of other albums that I really liked came from the 2000s. But that still doesn't change the fact that most of the other pop music that was out there was generally not good. I mean, if you go back and you watch any of those VH1 lists, you know, like top hits from the 2000s, it's brutal. to watch.
Man, I don't know. There's a lot of hip hop that I hear from then, and see, like, I miss. Like,
I would argue that 90s hip hop, though, was way better.
Yeah, but Nelly was 2000s. And
exactly.
So
that's why I like
Look,
that.
Two Pair is a garbage song, but Nelly is still pretty damn tight.
Well, I mean, so, Country Grammar and Hot in Here, yeah, like, are game changers for rap.
Yeah. And I'm not arguing that those aren't really great things. I'm saying that the overall effect of pop music in the 2000s was lesser than the effect that was created from the 50s.
Yeah.
Do you get my meaning?
I do.
The 2000s will not go down in history as a great musical decade, in my opinion.
I think
opinion.
That they will. You look at, like, Flo Rida, right? Low.
Okay.
Great song.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the hip hop from the 2000s are going to become hip hop standards.
And I'm telling you that pop standards from the 2000s will not.
Fair enough, but, like, I don't think
you even look at a lot of the rock standards that came out of there. Some of the genres that popped up in the 2000s. I mean, you've got
Nickelback.
Well, to counteract Nickelback, but yes, he is right, Nickelback. But you've got groups like Fall Out Boy and was it My Chemical Romance?
Yes.
And, like, a lot of the emo stuff that ended up popping up later on. I remember because I was going to Warped Tour in that decade. And so I know the music that came out of there, and I'm saying that it had less of an impact with the pop genre than in, like, you know, the rock genre. Yes, it was popular to me and a lot of other people, but, you know.
Okay, so to sum up your argument, if you were saying that possibly while hip-hop was at a stronger place than it is now, every other genre was in decline.
Pretty much,
okay,
in my opinion.
I would agree with that, if that's what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
The 2000s.
I mean, some of the emo music that came out, some of the best stuff that I've ever heard, right? I mean, you've got, like, Motion City Soundtrack, My Chemical Romance, Fall Out Boy. Like, you've got a lot of really great artists or bands that showed up in that time period. Heck, The Frames, one of my all-time favorite bands. Like, some of their best albums came out in the 2000s. And just, like, mind-bogglingly good. And yet, at the same time, for me, you, like, what are some of the other pop songs that came out in the 2000s that were, like, insanely popular hits that you are just like, well, yeah, that was an awesome song.
Okay, everybody,
because I can't think of one. I can't think of one chart topper in the pop music vein that was a good song, in my opinion.
Well, I don't. That's a bold statement, but. I just want to say, hi, everybody. This is Greg Harvey. the 2000s were, like, the most important decade of music for me personally.
Yeah, and that's what I'm agreeing with.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, and I'm not going to let that sway my list here, but it's a big deal for something that's so personal to not give it more credit, you know, under a bias. But
you look at the 50s, like, absolute total game changers.
Yes, correct.
In the genre.
Absolutely.
The start of rock and roll. The start of the counterculture.
And that's exactly what I'm trying to get at here is, like, Blink-182's Take Off Your Pants and Jacket was not more important than Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
It was not.
But, like, look at even how it affected the 50s, look at how it affected just the culture in general. Mm-hmm. You had
the craze, the rock and roll, the hysteria.
Yes. And then later on, like, it started to develop into, now I'm saying, like, the latter part of the 50s, not so much. The early part of the 50s, definitely huge. But, I mean, you look at the later part of the 50s and stuff, then you had, like, a lot of the hot rod stuff showing up. You had, like, the start of, like, you know, the real surf culture and, like, that kind of stuff starting to show up. It was like, but all of it, all throughout, like, the undertone of that was this stuff coming out of the Mississippi Valley, you know, this rock and roll that was coming out of, you know, Memphis and St. Louis and Chicago. And it's like,
yeah,
just that stuff right there. It not only defined its decade, it defined and influenced every single decade that came past it.
And I love
and
to...
as much as I can argue about the 60s and stuff like that as being like great, without the 50s, they were nothing.
Well, that, and then you also have like your hot rod cars and stuff too, and just the culture
exactly.
that came with it.
So that's why I was saying like that, I mean, originally though, like, I mean, and I know I'm arguing against this now, like, I would argue that the 2000s, as far as a musical decade as a whole, were worse than the 50s.
You want your number ones year by year in 2000?
I mean, if you want to give me a couple,
I got
ahead.
Them right here for you.
Go ahead.
Breathe, Faith Hill, 2001. Hanging by a Moment, Lifehouse.
God.
How You Remind Me, Nickelback.
Ugh.
In the Club, 50 Cent.
Okay, I mean, that's 50 Cent.
We Belong Together, Mariah Carey.
Ugh.
Bad Day.
Because you had a bad
Daniel
day.
Powder. Daniel Powder.
Ugh.
I really kind of hate that song. Irreplaceable, Beyonce.
Yeah.
2008, Low.
Yeah,
Flo
okay.
Rida. And 2009, Boom Boom Pow.
Black Eyed
by
Peas.
The Black Eyed Peas.
Okay, guys, I think I have a proposal here. I think number six should be the 2000s.
You got it.
Number five, we can make the 1980s.
Okay.
And then we can give number four to the 1950s.
I will argue that the 50s and the 80s should be swapped.
You still think the 80s are better than the 50s?
Yeah. You're so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You're so wrong.
But we just,
see, because,
but we
because,
just made a great, valiant argument as to why the 50s were so influential.
Yes.
And I could not make that same argument about the 80s.
But now I'm not talking about influence, not as far as that's concerned.
Now you're
I'm
just talking about
this.
Content?
I'm talking about, if you want to talk about influence, though, you want to talk about the birth of MTV. You want to talk about the fact that Michael Jackson, Aerosmith, Prince, Metallica,
Bowie,
U2, let's see, Guns N' Roses,
Billy Idol,
The Police, Van Halen, Run DMC, friggin' Whitney Houston's Rise in the 80s, friggin', let's see, Motley Crue, Kiss, Poison, George Michael. You want to talk about all the popular bands that showed up in the 80s? Right there. But then you want to talk about a lot of the other bands that became popular after the fact? The punk scene in general alone merits a higher standing for the 80s.
Second wave
than
ska.
Just than what you are considering it. I understand that you can throw out Flock of Seagulls. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah, you can throw out Rick Astley.
Yeah, except for the fact that I like Rick Astley. I'm saying that as far as a decade of music goes, the 80s were extremely influential, and on top of that, produced some of the best pop music that has ever been heard on this earth.
Brian, you need me. You need me for this, because we already know where Jake stands. I think it comes down to good old Greg, and I'm going to say this. The only validation is that I had originally listed the 80s as better than the 50s. And so I still side with you. And it's driving Jake nuts.
I quit. 100 episodes was all I could do.
Oh, you could do.
This is it. It's over.
So here's what I propose. Number six is the 2000s. Can we agree upon this?
Okay.
Agreed.
All right. 2000s for number six. Boom. Got that one down. For number five, I will say the 50s.
Agreed.
All right. 1950s.
I guess by the rules that you're subjecting me to, that's what it is.
And to number four, I will pick the 80s.
I also agree with that.
Boom. Three decades.
Trying to defend that by a genre of music marked by players that couldn't play their instruments.
But I'm saying that for every Milli Vanilli, there was another band out there that was amazing.
Yeah, but I mean, there was also, I mean,
the 80s pioneered.
Like every punk band is pretty much terrible.
The 80s pioneered
yeah,
a very
best,
still punk.
But
land.
The best punk music that came out in the 80s, the best punk music to me came out in the 80s. And then, what about third wave ska, though? Third wave ska was friggin' amazing.
That was the 90s. Second wave was the 80s.
That's a dirty move. And I'll tell you why that's a dirty move. If hot dogs were my favorite food, that would be like arguing that sandwiches were also my favorite food. Because a hot dog is a sandwich.
Now, I personally, as a second wave ska fan, I don't think that that genre holds enough water to save the rest of the decade. I feel like that doesn't apply because
look,
the '80s were about, like we said, David Bowie and Billy Idol and, you know, MTV
doing all like of their said. Worst work.
Yeah, but then look at it. The best work of Tom Petty, in my opinion, came out in the '80s.
Fair enough, but we're not paying attention to the fact that disco was still going on in Europe.
Yeah, but that's Europe. I don't care about that. I'm caring about the U.S. market here because Europe is going to do whatever Europe is going
to
do.
Well, we have
David Hasselhoff was popular.
I mean, we do have to consider
in the music genre in Germany.
We
I don't
certainly
care.
Have to consider, you know, the British in this discussion.
Yeah,
though.
But I'm considering that the British, as far as it pertains to the U.S. anyway, because you know, in the 60s, we have the first British invasion. That didn't happen in the 50s. That was purely in the 60s. And then we had the second British invasion in the 80s. And then we had the third British invasion in the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I guess I'm just going to have to apologize to every artist from the 50s that I love. So
I mean, that's the thing, Jake.
Sorry, Johnny Cash.
It's not about that.
Just remember the shoulders of giants, Jake.
Mm-hmm.
On the shoulders mm-hmm. of giants.
So there you go. But we have 3 spots left, which means that we are arguing the 70s and the 90s and the 60s. So 60s, 70s, 90s.
Yep.
These are the last 3 decades that we have to get through.
So we said that
this is going to be hard.
Number 4 is the 80s, correct?
Yes, number 4 is the 80s.
All right. Number 3. You guys want me to go?
Go for it.
Number 3 I have, and this is tough, the 1960s.
Okay.
Ooh, that's a hard one. Okay, here's why. Because my choices, as you just named, were the 60s, 70s, and 90s. That's what we have left on this list.
Mm-hmm.
I already know my top 2. And by default, the 1960s have to come as number 3. I really liked the psychedelic rock, that kind of that precursor to the 70s. I liked the kind of phase that the Beatles were going through. And they kind of influenced a lot of the rock genre around them at the time. It was a period for me that felt like, again, people were really getting back into music. Because even with the 50s, I mean, I feel like there was a huge...
Well, after all of that other stuff, Elvis, you know, is in the army. Chuck is in prison. Like, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis marries his like, niece or whatever she was. And like, you know, like once all that stuff happened, like there was the death of rock and roll in the latter part of the '50s. Nothing good was being made really. You know, yes, country was starting to come into its own, you know, but that didn't really happen until later anyway. But yeah, the latter part of the '50s, there was definitely a fall off. And so when the 60s started to roll around, it was all of these bands that grew up listening to those early 50s guys. And then, you know, because of the way that it worked with the music thing, like it kind of took a couple of years to like balance and bounce back and forth between the UK and the US.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when the first British invasion happened.
Yes.
in the early part of the 60s.
Yes, because I'm thinking, you know, I mean, a frame of reference for me is like, imagine like the Apollo missions, you know, and us.
Which also happened in the 60s.
Exactly. Us going to space. And when you think about that, like what's the music you kind of associate with like, you know, the American space race? And for example, you're watching Apollo 13 and they've got Norm Greenbaum with, Spirit in the Sky. you know, and you've got rock music that's starting to enter more of like a bodacious kind of raunchy sound to it. People are starting to get a little more gritty and a little more real with them. Because the 50s were still kind of like, baby, I want to hold your hand. And then the 60s.
Well, that was the early 60s.
Well, but know. Then the but
with
then
the Beatles, I want to hold your hand.
Yeah, but I'm talking like the rock music in general was kind of more like, oh, you know, let's hold hands and kiss. And then the 60s were more like, well, baby, let's make love. Let's, yeah.
Well, and that's exactly, in the early part of the 60s, it was still sort of that, you know, I want to be your girlfriend, or you know, I want to be your boyfriend. You know, it's like it was that kind of like young love stuff and, you know, or something along those lines. But there was also like a lot of other songs thrown in there, like some really good like ballads from like the Beatles and stuff. And, you know, and then but there were other bands that first started like going a little bit deeper into that realm. And then by the end of the 60s, you've got a whole ton of like just straightforward, heavy-hitting rock kind of bands.
That genre saw the shift.
You got Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jefferson Airplane, like so many great bands that came out of the 60s, the later part of the 60s at least. But at the same time, I'm in agreement with you. I actually think that the 60s do belong in the third spot.
Yeah.
And that's because, for me, their music just wasn't as good as the later decades.
It's because we give it credit to be in that position because of the experimenting that was going on.
Yes, yes.
But yet also because it was early on enough, the stuff that came later built off of it, and that's why the 70s will end up as a better ranked genre.
Can I make an argument that has not been brought up yet?
Go ahead.
Please do.
Four of the most influential music festivals / concerts happened in the 60s, though.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Woodstock, Monterey Pop Festival, the one in England that I can't remember the name of right now.
The one Glastonbury?
Yeah.
Or the one that they do in Hyde Park every summer?
Hyde Park.
Okay.
The first Hyde Park.
Hyde Park, yeah. And then one other that you can't remember? Because well, he said four.
He said three.
Oh, you didn't say three? I thought you said four. My fault.
I said four.
Oh, well, you named four.
Either way, it's I get what you're saying. That was the start of the first like massive music festivals. But then again, I mean the folk festival was going on.
True.
Like, you know, well before that. Newport or whatever, the Newport Folk Festival.
But none of them saw the impact that Woodstock, the Monterey Pop Festival, and Hyde Park had.
And that's
but I would also argue that the impact of Woodstock was really from the movie and not from the actual concert itself.
I don't know, man. It
because
was...
if you ask people, you know, like about Woodstock, like you are more often than not going to find somebody who claims that they were there, even though they weren't. And that's because they probably watched the movie while high and just imagined it.
Maybe. So,
more people claim to have been at Woodstock than were actually at Woodstock.
But see, Jake, I think you validated that like the large gatherings of people for these music festivals is what firmly establishes the 60s as being a superior music genre than the ones we've already covered.
Maybe.
While not being able to overshadow the ones that we're about to get into.
And I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, you talk about the 60s. You talk about bands that are the Beatles, Rolling Stones, Beach Boys, like Jimi Hendrix, even the Monkees. James Brown. Like, I understand all of that. But I just think that the 70s produced better music.
Well.
But I am willing to concede on this point, Jake.
I mean,
I am willing to give you the 60s at a higher rank.
It's just
but
really
what
hard.
Would we put there in number three is the question.
Jake could probably say the 90s, I bet.
No.
You're going to say the 70s.
But I am.
Okay.
So the 60s were better than the 70s?
I think so, yes. Because, when you consider the totality of all genres, not just looking at rock. because in the 70s, the big arena rock acts are nearly impossible to beat.
Yeah.
When compared still within the genre. But you look at Outlaw Country at the end of the 60s, you look at what Otis Redding, James Brown, and everyone in R&B were doing in the 60s, that all took a nosedive in 69 when James Brown went into prison and Otis Redding was dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, too, because I was going to ask, before we move away from the 60s...
Because basically what we're trying to do here is finalize our last three.
Yeah.
And if we can knock that out, then I'm good.
Well, but also, I mean, we always get so headfirst into rock and roll that...
That's because that's what we grew up with. And
I was hoping that you would bring up what other genres of the 60s really helped drive the music besides the whole cliche Jimi Hendrix, you know, type idea of the 60s. Or for me, the 60s is kind of like Jefferson.
So you look at rock and roll, and we talk, you know, the Beatles, Beach Boys, Rolling Stones, all of that. The sheer fact that R&B at that same time was making its best music.
Yeah.
So you've got all the stuff going down in Muscle Shoals, like Aretha Franklin, and you said James Brown, and like all of these other artists, like Stax Records.
Even Dwayne Cochran that we played so many weeks ago.
Yeah. I mean, like, all of those genres started to come into their own in that decade. And so that's why I'm willing to give the decade, to give the 60s a higher spot than third.
I'm not willing to do that, but we have to keep in mind that the 60s have still made it to number three. It beat out the 2000s. It beat out the current music. It's not like we're, you know, it's not like we're crapping on the 60s here.
True.
So, and that's why I will not concede, but...
So you won't even concede it to the 90s?
No.
Okay.
But it's close. It is close. I could see us switch in the 60s with the 90s, but I'm not going
to. I could knock the 90s down a couple of pegs just for the sheer rise of like, the house dance music. And, just like the techno that was developed.
Yeah, but that's a double-sided sword too, because I mean there's merit behind that
you
music.
Can, I mean, you can argue that you don't like disco, but fact of the matter is that at least disco had a band, and they were all talented.
Well, not only that, but even if you hated disco, sorry, but it was also really popular.
Yeah.
You know?
And so that's why, like, I mean, I can talk about the 90s with grunge, and with the rock genre that was developed out of that, but at the same time, you know, it's it was like Spice Girls.
Okay, there's one thing that the 90s has on every decade, though.
NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys.
Just listen to me. Okay, forget about the fact that you went to roller rinks and had to listen to the Backstreet Boys.
Yes,
just for a moment.
Okay.
And remember that in 1999, the Audiophile's wet dream happened.
Okay.
When Napster.com launched.
That was in 99?
That was in 99.
Yeah.
And it was only a year. It was only there for a year before people started getting lawsuits.
And that the death one of the
year,
music
that one year, just to roll out the century was amazing when you could go onto Napster and you could find a bootleg of a band that you wanted to hear when they played at a club in 82. You could find early demos. You could find Tom Waits' stolen record on Napster. It was amazing.
So it's kind of like the concept that no matter how bad it is, this is still the best time to be alive. It's kind of that concept with the 90s, too, is that it gets a little more benefit because the technology also was incorporated in the music world.
Yes.
And the accessibility, really. So I think, honestly, guys, number three solidly is the 60s for me.
Jake?
Man, I'm still going 70s, 60s. 90s at number one, only because of one year of Napster.
Whoa.
Brian? All right.
I'll give you the 60s. I'll give you the 60s at number three.
60s and number three.
Because here's the point, is that if I argue my point, then we're just stuck in a circle. And if I stay like, you know, very firm on my opinion of it, then we're just stuck here at this point, and we're never proceeding onwards.
And like I
said, I'll give you the 60s.
And we shouldn't, feel bad about that.
Here's what I'm saying after that. And this will give you my number one, 90s at number two.
I have 90s at number two as well.
So we'll put 1960s at number three. And then, I mean, Jake, my pick is for the 90s because it's like I said, you know, there was a bunch of really great music, and it's very influential to me. I mean, you talk about like the next wave of ska that came out and all the really, really great bands that we used to go see all the time at random shows. The fact that the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones came out in the 90s, like, you know, with their massive, massive hit.
Yeah.
Is enough to rank it pretty highly. And I know that I'm putting the 90s in there just because that's the music that I first started to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember growing up and listening to the different bands that were out there and the different ska groups. And, you know, the Impossibles were out there touring. Animal Chin was out there touring. MU330 was going strong.
Yeah. Okay.
And so that's why I would give the 90s that rank. But that's once again, that's a personal thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the pop music that was being developed in the 90s, though, and then if you look at the way that the rock genre was taken over by labels, you know, after, say, like 94, 95, it got really, really bad. I can't listen to the rock stuff that came out in the latter part of the 90s. Because most of it was horrendous. And that's because it was like the record labels found out, you know, grunge was extremely popular, and they're like, hey, we can find other bands that fit in this genre and then just go from there.
Here's my pitch of why the 90s are solid as well.
Okay. Not to mention rap music. So
that's, yes, exactly. So the 90s, we had great rock and roll from the 80s. That transitioned into the 90s nicely because rock and roll. What is that?
Jake, just going off on us.
What language was that?
Esperanto.
So the 90s, the rock didn't get worse.
That's true.
Yeah. In the 90s. We got grunge out of it. We're talking Nirvana, Stone Temple Pilots. Bands that are kind of cliche, but like for the time were huge and
massive.
A big deal. I mean, Bush. People love Bush. They thought that Bush was a great rock band, and, you know, they put out some good hits. But then also you get into rap. The 80s hip-hop, the 80s rap really laid the groundwork,
yes.
And it was good stuff. We even had 70s rap early on, but the 90s was when we really started to kind of hit like a golden age. I mean, even some of the rap one-hit wonders from the 90s are still huge to this day.
Mystical.
Well, and like Skee-Lo with I Wish, you know, just songs that was a one-hit wonder, but that still carries a lot of weight to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the pop music. Some of it was pretty cliche and pretty obnoxious to us now, but like, I mean, what is love? What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Like, you hate that song, but at the same time, like, that's a guilty pleasure. And you know you kind of love that song. And that kind of dips into what you were saying about the techno music, too, is that in the 90s, I think a lot of Americans kind of had a hard time getting on board with techno. But now it's the year 2018, and we can see clear as day that 90s techno was just ahead of its time.
I would still argue that it was not.
It sucked.
It sucked.
But it was it was ahead of its time.
Like the current EDM is better.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's still just, it was.
Daft Punk did some pretty good stuff.
But like, you remember
Apex
Sandstorm?
Twins put out their first stuff.
You remember the song Sandstorm? That's one that goes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that was like, that's what I'm saying. That was way ahead of its time.
Don't forget the classic song, Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. I mean, it's not really, like, I guess it's not really better than the 80s in a way.
True.
When it comes to that. But it feels more endearing. And I know that part of it's our age.
Yeah. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I want to knock it down like a couple of pegs because it's like, well, I mean, I grew up in that era, and so that's why it's like I don't want to be like, well, obviously the 90s was the greatest musical decade because that's when I was going through my formative teen years and it influenced my musical taste for the rest of my life.
But here's kind of a counterpoint.
All that other music just sucked compared to the 90s. That's not the way I want to be, and that's not the way I am, but
yeah, but here's a good counterpoint to justify the 90s is that you have people like my own father who the 70s were huge for him. The 70s was his 90s, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then the 90s came and he loved that too.
All right.
Just as much.
I mean, it's like, I don't even know where we're really arguing about this right now. But
I just want to point something out,
though. Go ahead.
The Mortal Kombat soundtrack to the movie.
Yeah.
George Clinton does like 5 songs on it.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah, and there's one that's Goro versus Art, the 16th track of the album. Written by George S. Clinton and Buckethead.
Nice. Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
All right. Anyhow,
that's a cool.
Most of their budget was spent
there
on the music, apparently.
Wow.
Apparently.
So are we in agreement though that number 2 is the 90s?
Why are you still so upset that movie was bad? I just got to bring it up.
Disgust.
Like the look on your face was sheer disgust. It was like I offered you like Brussels sprout covered broccoli right here. Is it like, here, you want some of this?
Wait. Who didn't like Mortal Kombat?
This guy, apparently.
No, I mean, it was fine. It was an okay movie.
It was
just
perfectly
cracked. I mean, you can't say that it's high art. So
no.
I mean, most of the people who were in it were making their own costumes at some point because they didn't have money to do anything. They didn't have enough money for a rap party, so Christopher Lambert paid for it out of his own pocket.
I like how the movie ends with sure annihilation, because when they zoom out and they're fighting at the top of that pyramid,
yeah,
and then they zoom out and it's just like waves and waves of millions and millions and millions of people coming to kill them, and they're just like fighting people one at a time. And it's like, you know that in 30 seconds after the screen goes black, they're dead. But the movie ends just in time to be like,
you know,
whoa, look at
you
that.
You know what movie also did that? Jet Li's The One. They did the exact same thing. He's on top of the pyramid and all these people are coming to attack him and he's just fighting them off one by one.
You ever see the early CGI of The One when The Rock was still supposed to be in it?
No.
Yeah.
But I do remember the CGI of Reptile in the original Mortal Kombat. But it was not that good.
Well, you guys, despite all of our nostalgia here, we have made it to number one.
Number one. And it's to me, it was almost an obvious choice. And that is because the 70s were honestly some of the greatest music that has ever been made on this earth. You had the rise of the album in the first place. Like, albums became exceptionally popular. Like, the 60s were still all about singles and stuff like that until the later part of the 60s, and it was about albums. It's like, but then in the 70s, they really started coming to their own. But then you had the rise of these bands that were just creating this anthemic rock that was louder and more powerful than anything else that had been done before. You had the rise of metal. You had the rise of the early punk scenes. You had disco, yes, but you also had funk music rising at the exact same time.
And we said it's the decade that rap and hip hop was born.
Exactly. And so to me, pretty much every musical genre in the 70s was pretty darn solid. All of them were good. One could argue that maybe 70s in the country genre wasn't exactly great, because that was the rise
of a lot of trucker country.
And, yeah, and there was the rise of the Rhinestone Cowboys.
But even 70s country, even 70s country though, was like still like country. And, you know, people.
Agreed.
A lot of Conway Twitty, though.
A lot of Conway Twitty.
Well,
hello, Walls.
It was, yeah, it was the.
How things go.
It was the fashion
you.
And it was the pace.
Today.
Jeez. Because, like, I mean, the 70s was a really hip time for people. Everybody wanted to be cool, they wanted to be with the times. And so you get like country art, like exactly Conway Twitty, where he's a country artist who's up there in like his blue suede suit, you know, and he's got his You know, like you said, you like either the frills or like the the leather laces,
fringe,
the leather fringe, yeah, or you know, just sparkles and bright colors, and but yet also those neutral tones. But it was like every genre was doing its own thing, but they all dressed kind of the same, and I like that in a way, because I mean, Conway Twitty could have put on the same outfit as like you know an R&B. Or like a hip-hop artist, you know, they could both be wearing that same, like, looking suit, but doing their thing.
And so, I totally agree. But here is my point as to why the 70s are the number one best musical decade. And it goes by this list. If you search for best bands of the 70s, this is the list you get. Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, Black Sabbath, Fleetwood Mac. Aerosmith started in the 70s, actually, but their bigger hits came on in the 80s, so that doesn't really count. The Who. I mean, look at the great music that The Who did in the 70s. The Rolling Stones did in the 70s. AC/DC. The Eagles. I know you hate the Eagles, Jake, but that's perfectly fine. Queen. Best music Queen came out with was in the 70s.
That's not true. Kind of Magic is their best album.
I mean, Queen...
Night at the Opera is the best.
Well, you're probably right.
Queen's got some good stuff.
You got, the Ramones started in the 70s. You got the Allman Brothers, Kiss. Grateful Dead produced their best stuff in the 70s. The Clash, Sex Pistols started. Friggin' just it does not stop. The entire list of bands.
And not only that.
ZZ Top, Rush.
Yeah, not only that,
doing
but
their stuff
some
in the
of
early 60s
some of the
70s.
Best bands from the 60s were still going strong in the 70s. You know, I see like the Kinks up there, and you see, you just scrolled away from it, but I saw another band that it was like a great 60s band who transitioned into the 70s and were still going. Oh, Creedence Clearwater Revival, that's it. ELO, I love Electric Light Orchestra.
The Bee Gees,
Thin
producing
Lizzie.
Some of the best stuff out there. Thin Lizzy, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, because they didn't really get together until 69.
See, yeah, because 70s
the
like
Doobie
folk
Brothers,
and
Journey.
Americana.
Emerson, Lake, Palmer, Steely Dan, Judas Priest, Derek and the Dominoes. Then, I mean, like, Foreigner. You can't go wrong with Foreigner.
I mean, you can't.
Now, a lot of those bands then transitioned into the 80s as well.
Yes, yes.
But
and even what we were talking about earlier on with This Week in Music History when I talked about Nick Drake, Pink Moon, released 1971. Like, to me, the best music that America has ever produced, and a bunch of the Brits, too, came out in the 70s. And rock music and music in general got to be so good. As my dad has said on numerous occasions, rock music got so good that you couldn't dance to it.
And that's where we got disco.
And then disco, at least, were live bands recording their stuff. And, like, yeah, they could all kind of follow the same, like, typical pattern. Here's the typical drum beat. Here's what we do for this part, blah, 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 blah. But it still produced some of the best singers that came out of the 70s because you had all these R&B gospel singers who then transitioned over to disco and had some great stuff. You can't tell me that Bonnie M isn't a great band because they freaking were. Yeah, they were disco, but they were awesome. So, I mean, that's why the 70s, in my opinion, is the best musical decade.
And I couldn't agree more.
Jake?
I mean, you already know I disagree, but...
I already know that, but you can agree that the 70s... was a brilliant decade for music.
I will have to concede that Boney M is a great band.
So there you go.
So, Jake, just to be clear, your number one was what again?
It doesn't really matter at this point.
I just want to know.
I was brought in to be a contrarian. No, no, seriously, I have the 90s ranked up there simply because, again...
Napster.
Like, I mean, the thought that you could just go and get any music you wanted to listen to was... so mind-boggling.
It's revolutionary
to everyone, you know. And like, okay, now you've got iTunes and YouTube and you can do all that now better than you did then.
But here's the thing, in 99 you were downloading 70 songs.
Not necessarily, but you
were just saying you're like all these tracks you could never get your hands on and suddenly you could, but like those were like 70s and 80s cuts, weren't they? Because you
I
were,
mean, pretty close.
Because it was so, because it's hard to find deep cuts from the 70s unless you have the album.
Yeah.
Or in suddenly Napster, you know? Yeah. I mean, even like, you know, King Crimson that mm-hmm. we reviewed, 69. I mean, it came out in 69. That means that it was popular in 70.
Probably.
Just to put that other little feather in the cap. Yeah. The 70s were great. I mean, for me growing up, when you're digging through those old albums, just finding 70s vinyl and putting on, even like the Star Wars disco song that they did, you know, that was great. But like, that was so perfectly 70s. And like having horns still in the rock bands, you know, and having like these big productions of these bands, you know, people trying to like be big grandiose. And then you also have bands that are just going way out in left field with like concepts and just space and time and like what is music and just that concept. I mean, the 60s kind of, you know, they kind of worked themselves into some of that. But then the 70s is when it was just a freeform explosion of creativity and thought and just trying to redefine the boundaries. And then the next group just redefining them again. And then the birth of genres entirely. You know, I mean, the fact that hip hop didn't essentially exist before the 70s. It's just, it's really hard to deny, honestly. And I rest my case.
I'm in agreement.
Okay. So
that's what we got.
We have our top 10 list. Yes.
Here's the Follow the Sound top 10 greatest musical decades. Starting at number 10, we have the 1930s. At number 9, the 1940s. Number 8, 1920s. Number 7, the 2010s. And number 6, the 2000s. Number 5, the 1950s. Number 4, the 1980s. Number 3, the 1960s. Number 2, the 1990s. And at number 1, the 1970s.
Boom.
If you agree with us, find us on Facebook, and we will have a lovely discussion about this on the yes. Follow the Sound group. If you disagree with us, find us on Facebook at Follow the Sound group, and we will argue to your heart's content.
This is absolutely the best opportunity our listeners have ever had to join our Facebook group and post your top 10 compared to ours. What do you agree with? What do you disagree with? Honestly, get on there and do it.
Yes.
Because I want to know if you guys think we were just absolutely wrong. I want to know that.
Yeah, I want to find out from different groups and stuff like that to see what they think their best musical decades are.
Even if you only want to answer the question, what was better, the 50s or the 80s? Even if that's the only thing you want to talk about, which was better, the 50s or the 80s? Follow the Sound on Facebook. Find the group and tell us what was better, the 50s or the 80s? Who was right? Who was wrong? Do it. And tell your friends.
Yes, exactly.
You know, now that you guys have had your way and the 70s have won out, I almost want to change our punishment.
To what? Flock of Seagulls?
Nope. Lord Such and Heavy Friends by Screaming Lord Such.
I don't even know.
Just
what
to make
that
us
is.
Regret picking
Just
the 70s.
Just to make you regret picking the 70s. But we've already said it's going to be the Macho Man album. So.
Yes. So once again, folks, if you like the page already, please get your friends to like the page as well so we can accept our punishment of reviewing one of the worst albums ever made. And, you know, we'll of course have a drive to get more people to like the page, but you can easily help us out just by inviting your friends to like our Facebook group, and, you know, we can grow that number and we can increase the Follow the Sound crew, right?
Right.
Sounds good to me. All right, folks. I'm so excited that we have made it this far. We've made it to episode 100. I want to thank you all for the listeners who have been sticking with me. I know there haven't been a whole ton of people who have gone through, you know, the 100 episodes, but thank you to all those of you who are listening, who do listen, and who will help us grow the show even more in the future. Thank you very, very much. I truly do appreciate it. I know you don't have to listen to us. We're just a bunch of guys in the Midwest who, you know, happen to love music, and we're not like experts in any of the field. We're not like superb musicians or anything of the sort. We're just guys who love music with an extreme passion. And that's why I started this podcast in the first place. And I just happened to find my two co-hosts who are in agreement with me that, you know, all this other crap doesn't matter. Music is one of the driving forces behind everything in our lives. And those people are Greg Harvey.
Yes, and no matter what the decade, we're going to party like it's 1999.
That is true. When Napster came out. And Jacob Crumb.
Be a man, Hulk. Come on, don't be scared. You're running from the macho, that's what I heard.
I am Brian Kroc. Remember, if you hear it, follow the sound.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.